We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to a terrific Tuesday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. So thank you for tuning in. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God. We're glad that you have tuned in today to the Refresh Radio broadcast. Want to remind you that our vintage service meets tomorrow, Wednesday at 11 a.m. Then we have our kids ministry tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Boy, that would be early for kids ministry if it was 6 a.m., wouldn't it? 6 p.m. Till 7:45. Now, tomorrow night, we do not have the little ladies' Bible study that meets in our sanctuary. We have a conference that we are going to be participating in that is taking place, and so our ladies' Bible study is not going to be taking place at on Wednesday night for this week only. But we do want to invite you out. Also tonight, Advanced Christian Training Schools is meeting at 6 p.m., 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., several classes that they'll be reviewing tonight. And so if you have any further questions about that, 633-0432, 633-0432, and that will be a blessing to you. One of the, actually a number of the people from our church have taken some of those classes and have spoken to me about how really good and interesting they are. So you may want to take advantage of that. So let's get into the Word of God today. I'm going to read verses in Genesis 47. We're going to go on down through verse number 26. It said, "Then Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for every man in the Egyptians sold his field because the famine was so severe upon them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he moved them into the cities." By the way, I just want to point out, there's not a lot of food that is grown in the city. So that's going to produce a future agricultural crisis in and of its own self. But that's just an observation. "He moved them into cities." And then the footnote at the bottom, which comes from several of the manuscripts, it says, "And he made the people virtual slaves," or as the NIV says, "reduced the people to servitude." And the Amplified Bible says that he did all of that at their request. "He moved from one end of the border of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh. And they ate their rations, which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their lands." Verse number 23, "Then Joseph said to the people," listen to this, "Indeed, I have bought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give one-fifth to Pharaoh. Four-fifths shall be your own as seed for the field, and for your food, for those of your households, and as food for your little ones." So they said, "You have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day, that Pharaoh should have one-fifth except for the land of the priests only, which did not become Pharaoh's. So what you see is that Joseph, he basically determined that there was going to be a 20% tax on everything that was produced in the land of Egypt. That should be more. That amount was enough to eventually completely overtake the Egyptian economy at that point in time, and everything became government run at that point in time. Joseph says, he said, "Indeed, I have bought you and your land this day for Pharaoh." And he tells them, from now on, from this point forward, there's going to be 20% that goes to Pharaoh, and you get to live on the 80% that is left. government will almost always ask more of you than what God does. Anytime man sets up rule and reign, the price tag is going to be more expensive. So I want to encourage you to honor God with the 10%, because he says that the tithe belongs to him. It is holy. Some people want to argue that it's Old Testament concept and it's not New Testament. I don't believe that. And if you do want to argue that point, then I would tell you that the New Testament model is that God owns everything that belongs to me, and therefore, if he wants all of it, I would be willing to give all of it for him. As a church, the amount of money that we give to missions whether it's local or U.S. missions or world missions or benevolence or our various compassion ministries that we operate in, that it is closer to 30% of our budget. And our budget is not a huge budget, but it's about 30% of our budget goes to support those missions endeavors. We believe that God is worth our best. So the reality that I wanted to point out to you is that the person who was responsible for the strategy that reduced the Egyptians to being virtual slaves was Joseph. And the point that I want to share with you comes just a few pages over to the right in the book of Exodus in chapter 1. And it says in verse number 6, "And Joseph died, all his brothers and all that generation, but the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to this people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land.' Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with burdens, with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor." We're going to talk a little bit today also about Luke chapter 6 and verse find it. Verse number 37. It says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." And that's what I want to talk to you about today. We often hear about the children of Israel and their bondage and their captivity and their taskmasters and the bitterness that they served, the burdens that they carried, the bondage that they lived in, and with a great hand God brought them out from underneath Pharaoh. But when I was reading through this, and God highlighted Genesis chapter 47 to me, what I realized was in Genesis chapter 47, the people of Egypt had been reduced to slaves by Joseph. But that Joseph wasn't going to live forever. And that Pharaoh that had blessed Jacob and his sons with the best of the land of Egypt and the land of Goshen, he was not going to live forever. And sooner or later, there was going to be a Pharaoh that would rise up that did not know Joseph, did not remember what he had done in saving Egypt, but instead, listen, people never forget what the bondage was like. I pray that one of the things that we never forget as believers in Jesus Christ was the reality was like when we lived as slaves to unrighteousness and slaves to sin. And I want to encourage you. I remember this was not one of my favorite teachers when I went to school. In fact, I couldn't tell you anything about this particular teacher except for this one thing in a picture that he happened to be in when I graduated from one school level to another. But when we entered into sixth grade, there was a teacher, and he called and he says, he spoke to our class, and it was strictly sixth graders, and I'll never forget this. He said, "This year, you all are big fish in a very little pond. Next year, you are going to be moving up to," in those days it was called junior high school, "next year you're going to be moving up to junior high school, and even though you're older, you will be the little fish in a bigger pond. So I want to encourage you to conduct yourselves this year the way that you want to be treated next year." What he was saying was, make sure you treat those younger students this year. Don't be a bully. Don't be a taskmaster. Don't try and intimidate and manipulate your way and overpower your way into getting what you want to have done. Don't try and use intimidation and manipulation and all of those control things. Instead, he said, remember, next year you're going to be the smallest kids on the block. You're going to be the smallest kids in the class, and you don't want people treating you badly. You don't want them reducing you to just an object of ridicule. And let me tell you, in the school that I went to, there was some of that took place in middle school. Especially for me, I was a runt. I mean, if you think that I'm not physically intimidating in appearance now, you should have seen me back in those days. I didn't hit 100 pounds until almost the end of seventh grade. I don't think I hit 5 feet tall until the end of seventh grade. It just not a large man back in those days. And so I always tried to treat people the way that I wanted to be treated. The Egyptians, I don't believe, ever forgot the bondage that they experienced, where they lost all of their money, they lost all of their farming equipment, they lost all of their resources, they lost their land, they lost their free will, and they even lost the location that they had grown up in, all because Pharaoh moved them into the cities. And the children of Israel continued to multiply and continued to increase. But at some point in time, the roles reversed, and what were invited guests of honor suddenly found themselves reduced to slavery. And those who had been slaves suddenly found themselves as taskmasters. And today I want to encourage you to treat people the way that you want to be treated. See, I've worked for a number of people through my life, bosses, both in the church and outside of the church. And because of some of the things that I've gone through, some of the things I've observed and learned, there are things that I try not to do. There are mistakes that I try not to make, because I remember what it was like when I was in that position. I remember what it was like to really be going through a difficult season. And so I want to encourage you today that you and I are not in a taskmaster-servant relationship, But instead, God wants to bring us into that relationship where we recognize that both have value in the kingdom of God. Did you know that the Word of God says that Egypt is valuable to the kingdom of God, that the nation of Israel is valuable to the kingdom of God, that both of them have a place, a treasured spot in God's heart? Look it up. Don't just take my word for it. Look it up and you know, find a concordance. Type up Egypt and look in the major prophets there in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Read through those passages, and you are going to find that even though Egypt had been a source of bondage, that it also became a source of refuge later on in Israel's history. Egypt was the place where Joseph took Mary and Jesus when Herod was trying to kill them. Egypt has a special place in God's heart. Israel has a covenant place in God's heart, a most favored. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the people of Israel. God has a place in his heart that no one else is going to be able to take away. He loves the nation of Israel. And so I just want to encourage you today. This may not be the most earth-shattering broadcast that you've ever heard, but I want to make sure that you are sowing seeds that you won't mind harvesting. Sow seeds that you will not mind harvesting. The Bible says that if you do not forgive, that you will reap unforgiveness. That if you are condemning people, that you will reap condemnation. If you are sowing, it is going to come back to you. But listen, it's not going to come back to you to the same degree that you dispensed it. It is going to come back to you with exponential increase over what went out. It was seed that was being sown. What kind of harvest are we looking for? You know what I encourage you to be? I encourage you, there's a principle that is called paying it forward. There was a movie about that. And every once in a while, you know, somebody does something and it makes headlines and all of that. But today, if you are not going through a crisis, I encourage you to ask God to open your eyes to see someone who is, so that you might be able to minister to them and see them set free in Jesus' name. What would Brevard County look like if all of a sudden the Christians, which there's like 500 churches here in Brevard County, and some of those churches are really, really large churches. What would happen if all of the people in all of our churches looked for one person that they knew personally that was actually going through a crisis and said, "Would you let me walk on this journey with you so that we can see you liberated and set free to the glory of God?" The reason that I believe that we need to be proactive in that is because one day we may have a need, and we will need someone to come and walk with us through that crisis. I pray that that doesn't happen, but you know, things like that do occur. I want to make sure that I have sown plenty of good seed. So what kind of harvest are you looking for? Are you looking for a harvest of bondage, or are you looking for a harvest of freedom? We need to make sure that we are facilitating and making as readily available the liberty that is available in Jesus Christ. Listen, when there's a passage in Malachi. It's one. It makes me smile. That's about the only thing that I can tell you about it that will help you. But let me read it to you. It's in Malachi chapter 4. For some of you, you may not have known that Malachi had four chapters. You may have only heard that something out of Malachi that referred to Malachi chapter 3. But there are actually four chapters in Malachi, and there's a lot of good things. And in fact, this is another major truth. It says in verse number 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. This is chapter 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them. And as a man spares his own son who serves him, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Chapter 4, verse number 1, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming up shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. And so in chapter 3, verse number 16, it talks about that we need, if we are walking in a reverential awe of God, we need to be conversing with one another. We need to be talking to one another. We need to be having fellowship with one another. You say, but we don't share the same name over our door, but do we share the name of our Savior covered the sins of our life with his blood? If that is the reality, then we have something in common. We share the same Father. We share the same DNA, spiritual DNA. And so we need to be able to communicate with one another, knowing that we have the same Heavenly Father. And God says, I'm going to have a book of remembrance written, and those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name, they shall be mine. They shall be mine. He's going to make special note of those in a book of remembrance. Said, these people loved me so much, they got along with one another. These people loved me so much that they fellowshipped with one another. These people loved me so much that they operated in the spirit of unity. He says, it's so rare, I'm going to write a special book, a book of remembrance, so that I can take note of those people. They shall be mine. Okay? And it says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. In the NIV, it says, you shall go forth rejoicing as calves released from the stall. It talks, and listen, I've been around cows. I know what it's like when they've been penned up, and all of a sudden, when the confinement is taken away and they are able to go forth, it is just a time of hopping and rejoicing. It really does bring a smile to your face whenever you see the captives set free. My daughter has a dog, and when we open the door to let the dog run, not being on a leash, just going out there to have an enjoyable time. It is a breed that was designed to run, and that dog can run. She gets out there, and a little over a week ago, we were watching over the Labor Day weekend, we were watching this dog, and there must have been a dog on the other side of the fence as well. And my daughter's dog, she was hopping like a deer. She would run a little bit and get up to speed, and then just completely leave all fours off the ground, jump about 5 or 6 feet, and we just laughed. We said, are you a dog or are you a deer? You know, the truth of the matter is, we were born for freedom. This all started with the topic of bondage. And to, what's going to happen here in just a moment is we're going to pray a prayer and ask God to set the captives free, to restore joy to them, and that all of us will be able to go forth leaping and rejoicing, our sorrow having been transformed into joy. Listen, we're not called to reduce people to slaves. We are called to empower them as children of the Most High God. So if you're a boss today or a supervisor, I want to ask you, would you want you as a boss? Would you want someone micromanaging you if you are micromanaging those underneath you? Would you want somebody constantly putting you in the vice grip and in this, and in, you know, the compression and constantly trying to intimidate you and driving you like a taskmaster? Is that the way that you would want to be led? You see, in Oklahoma and in Texas, I learned that you drive cattle, but we're not referred to as cattle in the Word of God. We're referred to as sheep. Shepherds do not drive the sheep. They lead the sheep. The sheep follow them. As a pastor, I try and minister to my congregation the way that I wanted to be ministered to when I was in that position. So, let me flip the coin just a little bit before we pray. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 8, talks about that those in spiritual authority and those in leadership, that you and I are supposed to be living our lives in such a way that them watching over our souls is a joy for them and not a laborious, wearisome task. And so I want to ask you, maybe you're not a supervisor today, but one day you may be a supervisor. And I want to ask you, what type of seeds are you sowing? Are you making your supervisor's job burdensome, or are you making it a privilege to partner with you to accomplish goals? What type of seeds are you sowing? Because one day the harvest is going to come in. The Bible says, as long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and harvest. Make sure that you are sowing the seeds today that you want to reap tomorrow. God wants you to reap freedom. He wants you to reap relationship, covenant relationship with Him. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, if we have been sowing bad seeds, I pray, God, that you would correct us in Jesus' name, that you would teach us how to live the way that you would have us to live, to sow the seeds that you would want us to sow. God, I pray that when harvest time comes, Lord, that it would be a harvest of righteousness, that it would be a harvest of freedom, and not a harvest of bondage. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."